Wow, good evening, church. It's great to be back home. I don't know if I can hold myself, but if you see me going a little bit crazy, please forgive me. I saw Alan this morning, Danny and I. You know this song that says, I don't know what I will do with myself when I get to heaven, whether will I stand, will I dance? I mean, that's how I feel. That's why Danny and I feel just being here with you guys, because you guys have done so much for us, and we are so grateful. You know, as you guys know, we were here for a few years, 7 years actually, and by God's grace and mercy, we were sent to Haiti, not knowing what was going to happen, because our plan was to go to Boston, and God will have it. Here we are, in, you know, in Haiti. We, you know, our kids grew up here. I remember when we first came here in middle school, and all the boys and the girls, my wife and I, we were in fourth grade teaching, and to see them all from last year, from 2 years ago, and now almost all of them became disciples. I'm so grateful. You know, when I heard about Ephraim, when I heard about Jordan, when I heard about so many of you guys, kids, that Danny and I, we got a chance to be with. And what you guys also have done for our kids, you know, my son, Andre, becoming a disciple. And I'm telling you, you guys were truly instrumental in that. We as Alan shared, the church, we have about 14 or 15 churches in Haiti. I was sharing to him when I left here, we were having a small group. But when I'm realizing what God is doing, I came to one conclusion. There is no way Danny and I, we can take credit for anything that is happening in Haiti. God is the one doing it all. Because how could you go from one small group to 1,000? You were not trained for 100. You were not trained for 200. You know, nevertheless, trained for 1,000. But it is to God's glory. We have some great news we want to share with you before we get into the lesson. You know, God is blessing the church. Our teen ministry, 2 years ago, we started with one in Port-au-Prince, actually, because after the earthquake, the church split in three different churches, and most of the kids, for some reason, they went with their parents to another church. And so Port-au-Prince, we had only one teen left, and today we have a thriving ministry, teen ministry, with close to 20 disciples. And our campus ministry, they were spread out. We have one disciple here, one disciple in different churches, but they were not a ministry with the dreams and to really do great work for God. And we sat down with a couple of guys and girls 2 years ago. We kind of get a group of 20. Today, they're over 50 disciples. They're excited. They're thriving and loving the Lord. We sent you guys some pictures. I think Alan, at some point, will probably show you the pictures. I'm not going to be too long. So many great things that God is doing. And the other day, last piece of good news I want to share. 2 years ago, we continue the work that the other minister was doing. They wanted to really have a school of ministry. A school of ministry, a little bit different than here, because the school, it's a university where you have your degree accredited by the state. But to amazement, God does do amazing acts from time to time. we were able to have two licenses, if you know Haiti, to get one thing from the government, from anything, it's hard. It's hard. We were able to get approval from two ministries, the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Religious Affairs. So right now, as I'm standing here, we have two letters that give us the right to start a university in Haiti. I mean, it's unbelievable because it's like it's never done before. So we've been recruiting teachers like Douglas Jacoby, Steve Kennard, and so many other teachers in the kingdom to come launch the school. By God's grace, by October, we're looking to start our school of theology or Bible school, whatever you want to call it. But it's a first that our church will have a university. It's incredible. And also, too, with that, we can open up any school, like first, was it pre-kindergarten, from college level. I mean, if we want to open up a school of nursing, we can. It opens so many doors for us. And who are we, to be honest with you? Because it's not been done in Haiti. And we know God is really behind that, okay? Amen. But let's have a prayer before we start. Father, thank you so much for today. And thank you, God, for all the people in our lives here, God, that have made such an impact in our marriage, with our kids, our parenting, Father, with the ministry. God, we're so indebted to them, and we know, God, you will, as your scriptures teach, give them and you know, in return, God, that the work the instilling us, God, will not be in vain, Father. We pray, God, your spirit will take over. We pray, Father God, your spirit will speak through us. And let, guys, the church be encouraged. We love you. We need you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The eldership, the leadership, Steve and Carol, we wanna thank you guys for all you are doing, and even let us speak. Bill Francis, our friends, thank you so much. When I left here, I didn't wear glasses. Now, so I am using glasses. We want to speak tonight about the power of example. And, you know, when we talk about example, we see one person who exemplifies really what that means, and it's Jesus. There is this historian, his name is Philip Schaeffer. He described the overwhelming influence Jesus had on history and culture. He says, this Jesus of Nazareth, without money and arms, conquered more millions than Alexander, Caesar, Mohammed, and Napoleon. Without science, he shed more light on things human and divine than all philosophers and scholars combined. Without eloquence of schools, he spoke such words of life as were never spoken before or since, and produced effects which lie beyond the reach of orator or poet. Without writing a single line, he set more pens in motion and furnished themes for more sermons, creations, orations, excuse me, orations, discussions, learned volumes, work of art, and songs of praise, than the whole army of great men of ancient and modern times. Jesus set the example for us in all aspects of life. In Mark 1, verse 22, the Bible reads, "The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law." The teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, they had authorities like Jesus. But the Bible says Jesus spoke with authority more, better than them, not even compared to them. Now, I did a little research. How did those teachers teach? And first, we're going to see a couple of scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 2, from verse 5 to 6b, Paul was talking to the church. He said, "We never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with pretext for greed. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people." The scribes, they had authority, but they were not real. They speak with flattery. And Jesus did not speak with flattery. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. As a matter of fact, he is truth himself. Peter, in 1 Peter 5, verse 2, it says, "Be shepherds of the flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain." The Pharisees, the scribes, they were teachers. Not only they spoke with flattery, but also, in their teaching, they speak for money. They were greedy. They were looking for dishonest gain. Our Jesus, everything was done freely, right? He did not look for his own interests. He looks always for the interests of the people and of God. In Matthew 15, you guys know that scripture well, from verse 1 to 9, talks about tradition. The scribes and the Pharisees, they focus on trivial stuff. For instance, the tradition of the elders, washing hands and cups. Jesus wasn't about trivial stuff. He was about teaching stuff that has eternal impact. The question we must ask ourselves, are we closer to the Pharisees, to the scribes, or are we closer to Jesus? Jesus spoke the truth. The Pharisees spoke some truth. Jesus spoke with fervor, with convictions. You know, the Pharisees spoke with whatever fits you, whatever makes you feel good. You see, Jesus, by his power, by his authority, was able to transform men, men like Paul, men like Peter, men that today you and I continue to speak about, men that today you and I are wholeheartedly willing to follow, because as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be my imitators as I imitate Christ. This power and this authority, where did he get it from? We all know he got it from God himself, right? To speak with power, to speak with convictions, to be able to transform men and women, you gotta be able to be close to God. Your relationship with God must be the first and foremost things in your life. The question, how is it today? Because the more you are with Jesus, the more you'll speak the truth. The more you are with Jesus, the more you will not be so much deterred by what men say or what women say about you. Because you're not looking for praise from men. You whatever you are doing it for God, amen? Jesus not only he got his power from God, but also the very message he was preaching, the very lesson he was teaching, he is this message. He is the lesson himself. He lives what he preaches. Sometimes we're afraid to teach, we're afraid to preach. It's not because we do not have knowledge, but what is lacking in other times is lack of practice, is lack of examples. So therefore, we know people can read through us. We can speak. And we can teach, but the thing about it, the Pharisees did that too, right? But what was missing was the example. What was missing is that they spoke or they speak, but without life application. In other words, there was a big hole and their teaching. There's a big hole in their preaching. You got to look at your life right now. I know this church, my church. I call it my church. We're not lacking. We're not lacking of preaching. We're not lacking of teachers. We have teachers here that have helped me. And let me tell you this. To this day, I don't know if you know that. Can I share this little secret with you? I still use your website. I still use your website. I still call Alan for different things, different questions. The class we did in 2014 in Ezekiel, I was tempted to do it. I didn't do it. All because I'm not Alan, but I did a little bit of it. I listened to the tapes 2014. I went through all the classes. I don't know, if you guys were to change your website, I kind of saved them. So if you change it so that I do not lose any one of them. You see, no, that's the truth. Because we are not lacking of great teachers. I was here. But if we're not lacking of teachers, if we're not lacking of great preaching, what are we lacking? What are we lacking? Maybe we need to look at our lives. Maybe we need to look at, the examples or the lack of examples we are setting. He was able to teach. He was able to teach with power because he lived
while he preached. And, you know, I was spending some time with Alan today, something that's very profound. He told me, you know what? You'll know what you've done, whether it was good or bad. Maybe give it some time. It depends on what it is. As parents, you know, hey, you know those kids, they grow up, they're beautiful, and then, wow, when they start hitting like 10, 12, 11 years old, oh, man, what? Is it my son? Because, you see, 10 years, he's changed. 15, 16, he's changed. I was reading this book, this lady, his son was great. But when he hit like 16 or 17, she took him to a doctor. She took him to a doctor thinking that he has something in his brain. His brain has got some damage because he's so crazy. So the thing I'm saying is that you give it 10 years and see in your ministry what you've been done. Give it some time and see how solid. Give it some time and see how solid is the foundation. In Haiti, when we got there, one of our leaders told us, you know, Leslie, it will take you about 3 years to really get there. I don't want to say a whole of the ministry because I still don't have a hold on the ministry completely. To at least to start knowing the ministry. I said, okay, but I didn't hear him. But you know what? When I got there, I guess at some point this year, I said, you know what? He was right. He was right because it took me 2 or 3 years to really start knowing a little bit of what I'm doing. I don't want to say knowing what I'm doing, a little bit of what I'm doing. But you know, time. And when we got there, we were advised. I think I learned, and many of you had advised us, you know what? Start building friendships. Start getting to know the leaders. And do not so much focus on baptisms. And honestly, we did not focus on baptisms. And you know what? God still bless us. God bless this ministry, I think, for over 100 baptisms the first year we got there. And last year, it wasn't that great. We grew by 89. And at the end of the year, in December, we met with the leadership. And we said, guys, you know, we look at things over, different things. Because we were focused on training and building it right. Our theme, to build it right. But to build it right, you got to start with Jesus. To build it right, you cannot take shortcuts. To build it right, you must be an example. The call was for the leadership to be an example. The call was for the Bible talk leaders to be an example. The call was for every disciple to be an example. But the example, first stay with God's word. Our time with God. Our time in the morning. Like it says in Psalm 1, it's like this man planted, this tree planted by what? By the water. What happens? The Bible says he prospers. He brings fruit in season and out of season. And all, you know, it's like the thing is that when you stay in God's word, it's just a matter of time. It's the foundation. The second aspect as well, is getting to know each other, building lasting friendships. And I heard you guys are doing some great stuff. As I said, I'm still spying on you guys from time to time. I heard about this book of, the name, I don't know, it's Safe, right? Safe people. Last time I said, man, I gotta put my hands in the book like this. So if you guys have a copy, I don't know where. Because I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to help the people, me personally and Danny, to keep growing our relationships and then bring the church to do that as well. We're talking about building foundation. Because why? Because there will be a test of time. But you know what? Jesus stood the test of time. That's why after his death, the apostles, they were able to carry out his mission. Because he was an example to them and for them, they themselves were an example to their people. You see, Jesus said to follow me, you must deny yourself and sacrifice yourself to be my disciples. That's the teaching, that's the preaching. Luke 9:26, right? Jesus said to the disciples, to love one another as I love you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13:34-35. You know, he was God. But yet, he did not consider himself equal to God. Philippians 2. That humility with skin on it. How humble are you? Are you a model of humility? You see, the teaching and the preaching. Jesus lived out every teaching and every preaching he ever did. Did he not give his life for everybody? That's love. Did he not sacrifice his life? Did he not? What has he not done? He's done it all. He was a model. The cross exemplified his sacrifice. The cross exemplified his love. The cross exemplified his denial of everything. The cross is identifying what Jesus represented. He was a model. He was an example. How about you? How about me? For the church to grow, simple. We must follow Jesus, right? For the church to grow, we must ask ourselves this old question, what would Jesus do? In my marriage, what would Jesus do? What kind of a husband would he be? You know, 2 weeks ago, actually last Saturday, I sinned greatly against my wife. I sinned against God. My wife asked me a question, but I felt that she's supposed to do this or that prior. She needed my help. Instead of me serving and helping, I became a disciple. Instead of me meeting her needs, instead of me, it's like somebody who's sick, instead of taking that child or that person to hospital, you're trying to really beating him up. I felt so sick that Saturday. I stayed the entire day in bed. I was so ashamed, so embarrassed. Now, it's a little thing. It's a little thing. It's an answer with impatience. But it is a sin. I look at my wife and I saw how devastated she was. As I said to you guys, I was so small, so embarrassed. I spoke with her. I asked God for forgiveness. But I've made a resolution, you know? Because the Bible, you know why the Word of God has to be your standard? Had I not known what the scriptures, some of the scriptures teach about a husband, the role of a husband, I would not even care about my sin. I would not even care about my wife. As a matter of fact, she's supposed to do her part. But it's not about that. The Bible does teach in Ephesians 5 from verse 25 and on, my responsibility as a husband is to present my wife radiant before God, without blemish. But at that particular moment, oh, it was the opposite. You know, by God's grace and mercy, we came, my wife forgave me. We had a great time. And this past Saturday, I'm looking, I said, man, 7-8 days pass. And I'm checking myself, I'm thinking, okay, how am I doing in this area of impatience? How? Because the Bible does call us to examine ourselves. What happens? We've been disciples for a few times, for a few years. We just go and go without examining ourselves. We just go and go. We know the scriptures, but they don't seem to be alive in our lives, in our marriage, in our parenting. Jesus was a model. He was an example to us. He was an example to all of us. And in order for the church to grow, and when we're talking about growth, we're not talking so much about how many baptisms you have. When you build that right, it will come. And it will come, and it will stand the test of time. It will stand the test of time. And a lot of us are here today. You've gone through so many challenges, but you're here because you have stood the test of time. Jesus is the model. Jesus is the example. There was something Peter said to me a few years ago. When I came, I lost all my business. I was a real estate investor. The market crashed 2005, 2006. I came. The last thing, I had my last house. Peter told me, let's see. Well, when we were doing the financial class, peace class, Peter said, let's see. Well, I know you only want to work on your finances, but I would advise you to sell your house. I said, what is he talking about? But, you know, after a while, but I never said that with you, I'm sorry. After a while, I said, man, Peter was right. Peter was right. You know, Peter actually told me the truth. Peter was a Jesus, not a Pharisee, not a scribe who goes around, you know. I know, Leslie, you've been in business. You know what? I needed to hear the truth. But at that time, I didn't hear it. So many of us, even today, great lessons, a good preaching, a good message. Are you hearing? Are you listening? Are you putting the word into practice? Are you? And I said with my wife, I said, wow, Peter was right. When something is right, even you didn't practice at the first time, you're going to come back and say, you know what? Well, you are right. And that's humility. And that is Jesus. We're not afraid to confess our sins. Not afraid to expose ourselves. You know what? Healing starts with being vulnerable. And we're strong men. We're not going to let people know how we feel. Are we strong women? We're not weak. But you need to take courage to be vulnerable. And Jesus was the example of vulnerability, right? Remember the cross?
Matthew 26. Let's go back to Jesus. Let's go back to him being an example. Let's share. Let's share our lives. Let's share the gospel. Let's share what Jesus means to us. Let's share what we're learning, what we are changing. Let's share. The world needs to hear from Jesus. But you know what? Jesus, they don't see Jesus. You know, the Jews, they needed to see God, but God became flesh. God became Jesus so that they can see. You know what? Today, the world wants to see Jesus. You know what? We are the Jesuses, right? The church is made up of disciples, people following God. In order for the world to see Jesus, they've got to see you. They've got to see me. Like Jesus was God for the Jews, today we are Jesus to the world. You know, in the book of Acts, a lot of scriptures, it says, when they see the courage of Peter, what happens? When they see Jesus, when they see John and Peter, there is transformation, there is growth, there is change. When they see Jesus in me, in my marriage, in my parenting, and me being a disciple, period. Well, I'm telling you, the world will come to Jesus. You are the light, as the scriptures teach. You are the salt. Let's the light does what it's supposed to do. Let's be the example that we're supposed to be. And like the apostles live and gave us so many great examples, let us today be the examples that God created us to be in order for his name to be glorified. Thank you.